just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord,
for my home and family, for life's joys that you've given me, for shoes on my feet, plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord, for the church where I worship and pray, for the freedoms that I have today. Sweet Spirit, I feel your presence so real.
Giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on a cross at Calvary, for taking my place, mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul.
Amen.
Okay, whose is this?
That's mine. I'm going to record in case something goes out. You know how microphones always go out. So.
Yeah. Especially with. Okay. Well, thankful for this morning, that's for sure.
Thank you.
So, round four. Round four for today. So, there we go. So, wow. Day of rest. There we go.
Got to have two of these here. We good? Okay.
There you go. There you go.
You two guys, look for green lights at all times, if you don't mind, okay? That way we know it's going. If that goes red, let me know so we can make sure. They will crucify me online if I don't record this. So they want to see what went on here, and they really want to be a part of it. So, amen. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And many years ago, if you know your history in America, there was a man named Paul Revere. And most people forget what he was. He was a silversmith. But they remember something that he did. And one night, he got on his horse in the middle of the night, and he went door to door, and he said, "The British are coming! The British are coming! The British are coming!" And they were coming. And he was right. They came. Sometimes I feel like a Christian Paul Revere. And today I want to get on my high horse up here, if you will, and ride through here and say, the mark of the beast is coming. The mark of the beast is coming. The mark of the beast is coming. Because it's coming. Now, it's not here yet, but it's very close. What does that mean for us that are saved? Well, that means the rapture must be very close. So I thought I'd talk today about the mark of the beast is coming. Now is the time to change your seat if you want to get closer and you want to be able to see this. Otherwise, tomorrow, bring some binoculars, okay? Because it's going to be kind of hard for you sitting in the back to see everything that's drawn up here. You're welcome to come up after, take a picture or whatever, but I recommend if you want to see, get closer up. And don't feel bad in the middle of service just to get up and come down closer if you want to see what's drawn up here tonight. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And we hear this a lot today, don't we? I believe we are close to the rapture of the church and the Antichrist coming and the mark of the beast. And I believe that, well, for a lot of reasons, but one of them is because of all the scoffers saying, oh, you've been saying that for years. Have you ever dealt with someone and they say, oh, I heard the rapture's coming all my life and it hasn't come yet? That can't be true. No, you just proved it true by your scoffing, because that's what the scoffers will say. But notice it says in the last days. So I believe we're in the last days now. Do you? I do believe we're in the last days. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read to you what the Bible says will take place in the last days. And if we're in those last days, then this sounds like what we're going to see in our day. Now you tell me if you see this today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous. Okay, can you guys walk down the street in downtown Chicago in the middle of the night and everything be good? Or is it kind of dangerous in places like that? For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. There's your selfies in the Bible, right? You notice that face that they put on? There's a word for it. I just learned that face. What was that called, Laura? Duck face. When you take a selfie, you do a duck. Oh, that's the most vain thing in the world. I just read Ecclesiastes this morning, and yeah, that's vanity of vanity. I hate the duck face. I mean, I see people doing that. I just think, oh man, that's so vain. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. What's the power? The blood, right? Like we looked at this morning. Denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if you were over there in Rensselaer with us, that was kind of the theme over there, is the importance of knowledge. There's some things you need to know. My people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. And well, let's go ahead and read verse 8 as well. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. There are a lot of corrupt people in this world, a lot of corruption, a lot of wickedness, and yet they have a form of godliness. They try to pretend to be good people, don't they? But secretly they are the worst. And they're haters of God and things that are good. And we're seeing this more and more. If that's not the last days, I'll eat your dirty socks. Amen. Would you agree with me that this sounds like today, what we just read? I think so. So people today, well, there's no rapture. There's no rapture. Well, here's the last days. We're in the last days. There must be a rapture. And I believe in the rapture. Yet many people today say there's no rapture. Well, when it comes, won't they be surprised? That's why we ought to preach it even more, so that when it does come, they'll be like, oh man, he was right. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to warn people. Now, get what I'm saying here. We're in the last days now. Okay? So we're about right here on God's calendar. All right, this is the last days. Now, who said that we're in the last days? Who said that? That was the Apostle Paul. Do you know the apostles also said what the last days would be like? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. But the apostles said that in their day it was the last days. So we have kind of a little bit of a problem here. We got to rightly divide, don't we? We got to figure this thing out. So the apostles are over here, And the apostles are telling us over in this time, guess what? We're in the last days. How can you be in the last days here and be in the last days here? Does that make sense to you? When I read my Bible and I read that, that was one of the things that troubled me and I couldn't figure that out. How can they say they're in the last days and here we are 2,000 years later, but we're really in the last days? How can it? Now, is the Bible right? Is the Bible true? I believe it is true. So I'm going to give you the answer to that. But let me show you something first. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Paul the Apostle says that right back here and says, has spoken to us in the last days. Yet that was 2,000 years ago. How can it be the last days if there's 2,000 years from here to here? Do you know it can still be right? But you got to rightly divide to figure out how. But he said in the last days. I find that interesting. Go to 1 Peter now, chapter 1, verse 20. There'll be people out there that will read the Bible and say, I don't believe the Bible. And this is one of the things they'll throw up in your face and say, hey man, they see that? They thought they were in the last days in their day and they weren't. So we're not in the last days in our day because we think we are and we're not. You'll hear people say things like that. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, Peter says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Last days, last times, same thing. So Peter says, yeah, when Jesus showed up, it was the last days or the last times. How does this make sense if this is here, but we're over here? Have you thought about that? Let's look at one more. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 John 2, 18. And in 1 John 2, 18, the Bible says, little children, it is the last time. It is the end days, basically. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, your first instinct is to look at that and go, no, it's not. Because that was written 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years ago, he said, we're in the last time or the last days. So as my dad used to say, how do you reconcile that? You know, it's pretty easy. You know, there's no errors or mistakes in the Bible. So let me show you something. Flip over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. So we put in this little formula. And how many days of creation were there? There were 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day, God rested. So the Bible teaches 7,000 years of human history. All right. So here we have 4,000 BC, 3,000, 2,000, 1,000, and Jesus shows up 4,000 years after Adam. And here we are about 2,000 years past that. And we know there's a future 1,000 years in the millennium, and somewhere in here is the tribulation, 7 years. So we look at this and we know there's 7,000 years, one for every day that God created. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. If we looked at this like a week, okay, these 7,000 years, 7 days, if you will, if we looked at them as days of the week, when did Jesus show up? Right about here. Is that past the halfway mark of the middle of the week? When you talk about the last 3 days of a week, you talk about the weekend, don't you? So, is it the last days that Jesus showed up? Well, yeah. Technically speaking, this is from here to here, the last days. Because here's the first 4 days, or 4,000 years, and then there's 3,000 to go. So, do you see how they can be right? Oh, but people will make fun of the Bible. But yet, we look at this through the eyes of God. And guess what? We are in the last days. And when Jesus showed up, he showed up in the last days. He showed up the beginning of the last 3 days. And here we are almost toward the end, but it's still the last days. So here's your halfway mark. This is hump day, I think they call it, right? Hump day or whatever they call that thing. But see how this is all taking place in the last days and the Bible is true? So when anybody comes along and says, oh, I don't believe that book. What a dumb thing. They said last days 2,000 years ago. Now you're saying last days today. No, the Bible's true. And that's the way to look at that thing and get a hold of that. So it's a blessing to read your Bible and understand it and to know these things. Had y'all heard that before? I'm sure you probably had, the 7,000 years as one day. So today what we're going to look at is the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is coming. And it's going to be over in this time, which is called the tribulation. And I believe in dispensations. It's in the Bible four times. I don't understand how anyone could say there's no such thing as dispensations. I just don't get that. In the Bible, there are dispensations. Now, God's word is true. We are in the last days. And now we're going to look at the mark of the beast. So turn over with me to Genesis chapter 4. When is the first time in the Bible that we see a mark? What exactly is the mark of the beast? How many times does the word show up in the Bible, mark? I believe the King James Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of the living God. And I believe it's mathematically perfect as well. We recently had a live stream with brother, remind me, what was his name? Brandon Peters. And he has done a lot of work on the Bible going through it. And how many times a word shows up in the King James Bible is just amazing. Did you know the word mark shows up 37 times in the King James Bible? But in the plural, it shows up twice, marks. 37 and 2 is 39. What is 39? 13 plus 13 plus 13. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. But that's kind of a number of judgment, isn't it? It's kind of a number of, rebellion, of not good type of thing. Just interesting how it shows up 39 times. Guess what shows up 6 times in the Bible? The past tense, marked, M-A-R-K-E-D, marked, shows up 6 times in the Bible. I don't know, is there anything to that? Well, Mark of the Beast is 666. So, interesting how we have 13 plus 13 plus 13. Is 13 a good number? In just a minute, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 13, and that's where we get the number 666 from. So, just coincidence, right, that the Bible's written the way it is? I don't think so. But let's go to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. And Genesis 4:8 says, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall henceforth yield unto thee her It shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I could bear." What a sissy, right? What a little sissy. He's probably going, "Oh, I can't take it." He just killed the guy. He should have admitted his sin, shouldn't he have? "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain." The first mark in the Bible isn't the devil giving a mark, it's God giving a mark. Isn't that a wild thing right there? And it says, "Lest any finding him should kill him." And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. What a weird thing that after he got the mark, he couldn't be in God's presence anymore. A lot of interesting nuggets in the Old Testament when you start looking at these things. But interesting, the first time Mark shows up in the Bible, it's God marking Cain, but it was an act of grace. What an odd thing. God could have killed him right there on the spot and should have. But God gave grace to a murderer. I don't know why. Maybe he's just foreshadowing in the future. I'm going to save people by grace. But the mark was a punishment for sin. So that's an interesting thing. This mark in Revelation chapter 13, we're going to turn there in just a moment and look at the mark of the beast. How odd that in the beginning of the Bible, there's a mark that God gave. And at the end of the Bible, there's a mark that the devil gives. Is that just coincidence, do you think? Or is there a reason for that? So we're going to turn over to Revelation chapter 13. And what I'm seeing here is I was going through and studying this, and you get nuggets from the Bible as you go through and study it, don't you? It makes me want to study it even more, because every time I look at it, I learn something new. Amen. Revelation chapter 13. And in Revelation chapter 13, we find the mark of the beast, which would be the Antichrist. And that mark is not of God. It's a mark that the devil tries to give. And the mark of the beast is in this time period, and it's the devil's mark, and it looks like it's forced on him. It looks like he's like, here, take this or else I'll chop your head off. And look at this. The whole world is under the penalty of death. When they take the mark of the beast. Do you remember in the Bible, it says they that took it, guess what? Got their head cut off. I mean, no, I got that wrong. Took it, they die when Jesus comes back at Armageddon. When they come back at Armageddon. If you don't take it, you get your head cut off. All right, give me some slack. This is like, what, the fourth round, right? I've been teaching all day, so I'm trying to stay awake. So if you don't take it, you get your head cut off. If you do take it, well, God will most likely kill you when he comes back at the Battle of Armageddon. So it has to do with being forced to take it under penalty of death, and it has to do with commerce, buying or selling, okay? So it's interesting that it has to do with commerce, and it has to do with buying and selling. So you can't buy or sell unless you have this, and if you don't take it, it's the death penalty. So you know what that shows me? The first mark in the Bible that God put on Cain was because of grace. The mark that the devil tries to do, he has no grace. Isn't that an amazing thing to see the correlation? I love studying the Bible and doing comparisons of this over here to this over here. It's really fun, and I love to do that. But God's grace was upon Cain so that he wouldn't be punished. He got a mark. The devil has no grace. He gives them a mark, and those that take it will be punished by God. What an interesting, just an interesting thing. Now, also in the book of Revelation, it has to do with worship. How did Cain get into that mess? Do you remember? Well, here comes Abel, and he built an altar, and here comes Cain, and he built an altar. And old Abel brought a lamb, and he said, Lord, take this in my place for me. And he shed its blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. What did old Cain do? Cain comes up to God and he says, look, here's a watermelon. Here's some grapes that I grew. Aren't they pretty? Why, God, look at this. Here's a rutabaga and I made some turnips over here. And the Bible says he brought his own fruits. He said, come on, Lord, accept what I did. And God said, I'm not interested in what you did. My anger is only pacified through blood. If you will bring a blood sacrifice, I will forgive you. God did not accept Cain, and he brought the fruit of his own labor. Today we see the same thing. We see saved people who come to God with nothing and just trust the blood. And we see lost religious people who come to God with their fruit and say, look at me, Lord, accept what I got. And God goes, I don't want you. I want you to come clean, not come dirty. And the only way to be clean is through the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So we read the Bible and we look at this and we see the devil's mark coming in the time of the tribulation. And we see that Satan wants to imitate God. And so I guess Satan remembered that God gave a mark. And so Satan goes, well, someday I'm going to give a mark. And I'm going to receive the worship. Satan was jealous that they were coming to God to worship him. Satan says, man, I want people to worship me. You remember Isaiah chapter 14? What did he say? The five eyes of the devil. I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will do this. Me. I. You know, the world today, what is it? Me first, you next, maybe. That's the way the world is, because it's all me. I was taught opposite as a child. As a child, I was taught always put others before yourself. But today, people are all about themselves. Me first, you next. So the devil wants this worship, and the devil wants this mark that he wants the world to take. And Satan offers a mark to the world while he pretends to be the true God. Now let's quickly turn back to Daniel real quick, and then we'll come back to Revelation chapter 13. But look at Daniel chapter 11. And go back to Daniel chapter 11. And here in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36 through 38, look at the Antichrist. Daniel 11, 36 through 38. And the king shall do according to his will And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. This is the Antichrist. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. So the devil has the God of forces. Sounds like force, doesn't it? But the God of forces. Now, for all you Star Wars fans, Star Wars, the force be with you. Oh, man, don't ever say that to somebody. That's like saying the false God, the devil be with you or something. It's kind of creepy. But what is Star Wars all about? Technology, right? Wow, I always wanted one of those as a kid. I don't think you can really make a lightsaber, but all this technology. Well, who's behind the technology in the world today? Well, what's a device? You ever heard of devices? Isn't the word vice like right in the middle of that? Who's the one into all the electricity and all that stuff? We're going to look at that today, and I'm going to try to piece that together for you, how the Antichrist comes. But turn over to 2 Corinthians 2:11 and look at what it says. 2 Corinthians 2:11. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to answer this when we get done. Are you ignorant? Well, that's a mean question. No, I'm just asking a question because it says right here not to be. So are you? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the devil has some devices. There are some devices of the devil that he has, that he uses to spy on people. Do you realize that the devil is in technology? That the devil is using technology for his purpose of bringing in the new world order and bringing in a one world government in which he tells everyone they have to worship him as God and take their mark? Do you know that? I hope so. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible warns us about this. And I'm glad that I'm saved because I'm not looking for the mark of the beast. I'm looking for the rapture, right? But what I'm seeing in the world today is so much, so quickly, of all these different technological advances coming, and they're scary. They're scary. And we're going to look at some of those today. I'm going to show you how it's all coming to the mark of the beast. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I want to read these real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Okay, new versions change that to the day of the Lord. Well, that's the millennial kingdom. So the rapture's not coming? There's no tribulation? That's what new versions want you to believe. As the day of Christ is the rapture. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Now watch this, comma, the son of perdition. Antichrist is given two names. That's quite interesting. Why? Well, he starts out as one and he ends up as the other. Now, I won't get into that here, but it's interesting that it has two names. And it says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the throne of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? I always think, no, Paul, I don't, because I wasn't alive 2,000 years ago. I wish I could go back in time and sit there and listen, but I probably wouldn't get very much of it because he'd be speaking in Greek, so it'd be Greek to me. But anyway, I wish he'd written more here, don't you? Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. That's a capital W. There's two revelations in this chapter. The revelation of the man of sin, then the revelation of the son of perdition. He's got a capital W on his name because he's that wicked. And it says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Praise the Lord for that. When would that be? Armageddon. But until he's destroyed, he gets to do what he wants. And look what it says here. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And it says here, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the devil has a few goals here. One of them is to deceive people and also to damn people. And he's going to have all power. When we turn on the electrical outlet out here, someone says, hey, turn the power on for me. The Bible calls or says about the devil, he's the prince and power of the air. There's something about that electricity that's a little scary. Remember when the electricity first came out? Remember what the telephone poles looked like? It was just one pole and a board going this way. It looked like a cross. And then they had the wire going like this, almost looked like a snake draped over it, didn't it? Kind of looked a little... I still look at electricity and I'm like, wow, I wish I was Amish, you know, sometimes. Because what is all that stuff? I think cancer comes from wireless stuff. I really believe that. Those free radicals and things like that. I think there's something to that, and there's a good way to use it and harness it, but there's also the devil's way. And the devil knows that he can use that for his own power. So the Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Let's start looking at what the Bible says about the Antichrist. And I don't believe that the mark of the beast has been given in the world yet. Some people do. They believe the last several years we've gone through, people received the mark of the beast. I don't believe that. But I do believe that the devil has done what's called a dry run. He said, you know what, before I put my plan in order, I'm just going to do this and see how many people accept it. And he did something, and he tricked a lot of people. And a lot of people have been deceived by something that took place in this world. And it's been amazing and baffling at the same time for me to see how many Christians go along to get along and just do whatever they're told and never stop and think and never, as the Bible says, prove all things. And so I want to go through here and I want to show you this and I'm going to show you some things. So let's get started here. Revelation chapter 13. I want to read 1 through 18. Is it okay if I read a lot of scripture? I'd rather the Bible speak than me. Amen. That's the way I look at it. Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now there's a place in this world called New York City. And out in front of the place in New York City called the United Nations, they just put a new statue in. Have you seen that statue? It's a statue of a thing that looks like a beast, that looks like a leopard with feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. It's just what this verse says, and it's right there, the brand new statue in front of the United Nations. You need to look that up someday and look at that. What is that? Somebody either knows the Bible or they're led by Satan, who does know the Bible, to put that up. If you go to the United Nations, you look at that and you go, Revelation 13, 2. That's exactly what you'll think of, because it looks just like this. And it says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon. Now, who is the dragon? Satan. Satan, right? But also, isn't China called the great dragon? I wonder if the devil might be using China in the last days. I wonder. That's where all this social credit score stuff started. Did you know that? Interesting. And it says, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. You know that word continue is only in the King James Bible? Why do new versions take that out? Now, this might be a little bit over somebody's head here, and I'm not trying to be mean, but continue means in order to be doing something, you were already doing something. I mean, it's that simple. So if he's continuing 42 months, then he must have been going sometime before that. Maybe 42 months. I believe in a 7-year tribulation. There's some people out there that say, no, it's not 7 years. It's only 3.5. Well, then take the word continue out of your Bible then, because it says continue 42 months. So I really believe it's a 7-year tribulation. And boy, that'll get you in trouble nowadays. But I'm just going to go by what the Bible says. Amen. I love that word continue. Amen. A new version's changed that. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Now, if that's not a pre-trib rapture in that verse, I don't know what is. That's a blessing. Why would he blaspheme the name of people that are in heaven? Unless that was us who were saved and we just got out. He's still talking about all those deplorables that just left the planet, you know. But, I mean, that sounds like a pre-trib rapture. Amen. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, what saints are those? There's the church age saints and there's the tribulation saints. The tribulation saints would be those that say no to the mark of the beast and chop, their heads are cut off. So he overcame them. Will he be able to overcome us, who's the body of Christ? Jesus said, no, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So do you see how that has to be tribulation saints? Another pre-trib verse right there. And it says, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now there's a lot of books in the Bible. There's the book of life, and then there's this one, the Lamb's book of life. You know the difference between those books? The book of life is anyone that's ever been born and lived in this life, their name was written down in the book of life. And someday, if they're not saved, they'll be judged. The Bible says they will be blotted out of the book of life. But when you get saved, the Bible says your name is written in that book, the Lamb's book of life. And do you know that can never be changed? You can never be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. Now, I secretly think that the ink that was used for the Lamb's book of life was probably red. Amen. Any idea where that red color came from? Probably right here. When Jesus rose again, you know, he went up to the... I think when he writes your name down in glory, when you get saved, it's written in red ink. And right there is your name written in the blood of Jesus. Now, try blotting that out. The blood of Jesus blots out our sin. We can't blot out the blood of Jesus, amen? Nobody can. So once saved, always saved. Thank God for that. Now, it says here in verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. I run into people all the time that say they're Christians and say there's no tribulation and there's no rapture. And so they think the Antichrist comes and they fight the Antichrist. Well, here's what happens. They that kill with the sword must be killed with the sword. No thanks. You know, I don't want to lift up arms and fight and all that stuff. I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here at the rapture. And I believe it comes first. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. I see this as the man of sin. And then he dies, and then he comes back to life with the son of perdition, Satan, in him. So I see the last 3.5 years as Satan incarnated in the body of the Antichrist. And so Satan is literally there in him, ruling on the earth. That's how I view that as. And verse 13, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now this almost sounds like some sort of AI, doesn't it? Have you ever seen Sophia? This little AI computer woman that they made? Have you ever seen that? And she talks, and she's like a sentient being that's computer. And they have some sort of fake skin that they've grafted on her. You know who I'm talking about? If you don't, go home and look up on the internet, Sophia. She's I don't know what she is. She's an image of something. She's some sort of AI beast. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now it says in, I believe the King James Bible. Yeah. New versions say on. Well, I believe it's in, okay? And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Three parts, three things that comes with this. We have the name, the number, and the mark. Do we know who the Antichrist is? I don't know who he is. I have my suspicions, right? But we know his number. But where's the mark? In the right hand or in the forehead. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So here we have the Antichrist and his number. So I want to have wisdom, all right? Here is wisdom. Let him have understanding count the number of the beast. So I'm going around looking for 666. And you know what? Today it's not hard to find. 666 is everywhere. Have you noticed that? Why are there so many 666s? But I think about the devil and his devices. So I say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at big tech. And I'm going to see if there's any 666s in big tech. And I'm going to just ask the question, hey, big tech, are you doing any kind of things that might look miraculous to people? You know, like taking a giant building like the size of this in the 60s that was computer. The computer was this big to now this is a little computer in your hand. To me, that's a miracle. I'm like, how did they get something that big to something this small? So I look at technology and I think, man, I think the devil's behind that. And everybody loves this little thing called an iPhone. Isaiah 14, I will. There are five I's, you know, 5G. I don't know if that means anything. But when they came out with that Apple, it looked like this, didn't it? Like what? Like there was a bite out of the thing. What does that remind us of? Who took a bite out of something that was forbidden? I don't know. Maybe you should read Genesis chapter 3. So out comes this Apple and this guy named Steve Jobs. And in 1976, they start selling the Apple computer. And guess what the price was in 1976 of the first Apple computer? $666.66. They sold that computer for that price. Now that's weird, isn't it? Now let him that hath wisdom, let him count the number of the beast. So I look at that and go, you could literally choose any other price. And you chose all sixes? I don't know, did Satan behind that? I mean, is that, my thought is this, that God told the devil, you can do whatever you want, but you have to tell people first before you do it. And if you look, you'll always see the devil always reveals himself before he does it. I just believe that's some sort of unwritten law. And so if you'll be looking, you'll be seeing that. Now, there's another fellow out there who's very big into tech, and his name is Bill Gates. And he started the whole Microsoft thing. And maybe you've heard of him. He has a lot of money and influence. You ever heard of the Bill Gates fella? Well, he made his living on selling computers and something about viruses. Remember the computer viruses and how you had to keep buying a new update and a new Windows and a new computer because, oh no, the old one might not work anymore. Wonder what that's all about. Well, do you know that old Bill Gates wanted to get into the world of vaccines? And old Bill Gates wants to help people, he says. And he wants a lot of people to take vaccines. So he's been working behind the scenes and putting a lot of his money into these vaccines. I wonder why. I wonder what's in those. Do you know Bill Gates and Microsoft has a patent? Have you ever heard of the patent? There's the patent of Microsoft that is patent 060606. Have you ever looked into patent 060606? I mean, we're not ignorant of his devices, right? You all know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes.
Don't you? Or is this, you've never heard this before? What is patent 060606 by the Microsoft Corporation? Well, basically, it is a patent called, this is what it's called, cryptocurrency system using body activity data. That's the official name of the patent. So it's some way of having cryptocurrency, but it uses body activity in order for you to make money. Can't buy or sell without, And the whole premise of this awful patent, if you ask me, I think it's horrible, is that they put inside you something and they make you into a wireless tower. And now they can spy on you and know where you are at all times. And then they'll say, hey, do you want to make some money? Well, if you'll go do this, then we'll credit your little chip or whatever it is inside of you. And you'll make money in your body by doing our activity. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a slave. That sounds like no freedom there whatsoever. But in that patent, that's what it was all about. setting up a cryptocurrency system, and then you are part of that system where you're a 5G tower, and that at all times they know where you are. Now, they make it sound good. They make it sound great. They say, hey, yeah, if you go along with this program, we'll just put some nano chips in you, and we can know what your body is doing. So if your blood pressure gets high, why, we can inform you, because we're here to help you. Whenever someone says we're here to help you, run, run. That's one thing I've learned about the shootings in schools. Isn't it weird how many shootings there have been in schools? And that same day, just by coincidence, there was a drill? Isn't that a weird? That it's like somehow these shooters go, well, the next drill, I'm going to go shoot some people. You know, isn't that just a coincidence? I'm thinking too hard. Don't let me overthink that here for a second. But if I'm ever in a school and they say, we're having a shooting drill, an active shooting drill, I'm going to say, let's leave. Because it just so happens that all those bad things happen when there's a drill. I wonder why. Nothing to see here, right? No, nothing to that. But anyway, this cryptocurrency system using body activity data is a patent making people into wireless towers. It has to do with cryptocurrency. What is cryptocurrency? An economy, buying and selling. And I believe that the goal is to set up a system in which there's no more money. It's all through wireless, and that's their goal. Now, what is wireless technology? Where does it come from? You ever heard a guy named Tesla? Tesla was a weird fella, Nikola Tesla. He's the guy that invented alternating current. Tesla came from Europe to America as an immigrant. And as a child, he was struck by lightning. And that's where he said he had the vision of alternating current. What does the Bible say? I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What did he see in his vision? Tesla said he saw in his vision two crosses, one spinning this way, the other spinning the other way. Two crosses? I mean, you start looking into technology, you start going, wow, this is creepy. And so he made alternating current, which we still use today. But he also set up wireless technology. And his goal was to give free wireless technology to the whole world. Well, they didn't want that. They wanted you to pay for it. So we still pay for it. But you start looking into wireless and what it can do to the human body and how it can possibly damage us and things like that. It's kind of creepy. So back to this Bill Gates fella. He wants to give the world all these vaccines. A Freudian slip there. All these vaccines. If you know Bill Gates, you know he made a lot of money by putting viruses into computers so you'd have to go buy another one. I wonder if he's still doing that, but this time to people. No, nothing to that, nothing to see there. But in 2018 or 2019, there was a thing called Event 201. Did you ever hear about Event 201? And Bill Gates was the main speaker behind that, and it was all about what if we do if there's this huge pandemic in the world and people just suddenly get sick by this virus. And just by pure coincidence, COVID came out a little later. And it's exactly what they were planning in case that happened. Wow, that's convenient. Wouldn't it be nice to know what happens before it happens and just a few months before you plan for it and then it happens? Oh, I'm prepared. Isn't that a wonderful coincidence? Oh, thank God for our Savior, Bill Gates. Amen? You're laughing. What, you don't like Bill Gates? What an odd thing that they planned. I mean, they had this thing and then it happened, the pandemic. I think it's a plandemic is what I believe. I heard before this whole thing came out that COVID stands for Certificate of Vaccination ID. And so COVID was COVID. They were initials for that. And 19, they called it COVID-19. Why do they call it 19? Well, you take the letters, A is 1 and B is 2, and you go through there. 19 is AI. Now you start looking at the goal of the technocrats. What do they want? They want the whole world to become digitalized. They want to take someone's brain and download it to a computer and live forever. Now to me, that's the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard of. Because you download your whole brain, put it in a computer and think you're going to live forever. And you're all there in a hard drive and then lightning strikes and the power goes out. That's the end of you. What a dumb plan. But that's the goal of these people. They don't believe they have souls. And so they want to live forever in computers, which is really weird. That's called technocracy, if I remember right, right? Isn't that what it's called? And so they're talking about, when the COVID came out, we want to have a certificate of vaccination, a proof of vaccination. Why would they push that worldwide? Was there something to that? Well, the medical industry got involved when this COVID thing came out. And by the way, they called it the coronavirus. Corona has six letters. If you take the letters of each number, it's 66. So 66 and six letters is 666. Nothing to see here, right? No, it's just coincidence, right? But what does the medical industry do? The medical industry, if you go and you look at the ambulances and you go to the hospitals, what do you see? You see this snake on a pole that's wrapped around like this. That's the symbol of the medical industry. You know who that is? That's the Greek god named Asclepius, the god of medicine. What does the Bible say that the devil is? He's a snake. He's a serpent. I'm very leery of the medical industry, I'll be honest. They scare me. My dad studied to be a doctor, and he told me, man, I saw things that were just so evil in that, that my dad had to get out of it. My dad went into natural medicine and things like that, and my dad had a health food store for many years and tried to help people. But there's some talk about this modern vaccines that they make today. And there was this famous doctor, and I can't remember his name, but he went on the internet, and he said that he asked, what are the ingredients of many of the medicines that they have today, and especially in vaccines? And he found, by looking at them, that they milk, are you ready for this? They milk snakes and use their venom, and serpents, and what else? Things like alicrán. What's alicrán in English? Scorpions. Scorpions. And things like that. And they use that venom in some of their medicines. Is that weird or what? Using snake venom in medicine? And he swears, now I don't know if it's true or not, but he swears that the COVID vaccine had guess what in it? Snake venom. Now I don't know, but I know they had a new vaccine that they wanted to push, and it was called something like Cobrax. Or something like that was the name of that vaccine. Cobra X. What? I mean, if you know your Bible, you know, watch out for anything that ends in X and watch out for the serpent. And you see the serpent here and watch out for this number and you see that number. Do you know when they gave the COVID vaccine, you know what they were telling doctors? Give them 66.6 milliliters in each shot. That's 666. Just coincidence, nothing to see here, right? Interesting, is it not? Now, they say COVID was a spike protein, and they had the whole world afraid of COVID and the spike protein. Their answer was, come get our vaccine. Okay, what's in the vaccine? Spike protein. So go get the shot of the very thing that I'm trying to keep away from? That doesn't sound too smart to me. How about you? Now, what else was in that shot? That's my question. There are a lot of questions. I don't know if you ever heard of Quinta Columna in Spain, but there's a lot of people that looked into that shot and said there was graphene oxide in it. And that people that took it, they said it was like a magnet. Things would stick to them. Well, that's one of the characteristics of graphene oxide. And other people think that there was nanotechnology in that shot. I remember seeing videos of people that took the vaccine. I call it the snake bite, is what I call it. And guess what? They would get around something and it wanted to connect to them through Bluetooth because it put some sort of a nanobot chip in them. And all this technology they have today, they can make nanobots that are so tiny that they can literally inject them into a person through a vaccine. Now, I'm not going to get all conspiracy theory stuff on you. But have you seen people that died from it? That can't be denied. There's a lot of things that have happened. That's why I preached against it as hard as I could. And I almost got kicked off of YouTube. And they took down my videos and things like that. But how does this all come together to the Bible and things like that? Oh, by the way, what is a snake bite? When a snake bites you, it injects in you a whole bunch of protein. Well, protein's good for you. Isn't that great? The only problem is those proteins are all jumbled up. And your body doesn't know what to do with them. And that's why it's a poison, because it's all jumbled up protein. Well, that's what the COVID is, a spike protein. It's a protein. You would think you want protein, right? If you want a healthy diet, eat protein. Well, not those proteins. They're all jumbled up. Now, there's an interesting way and thing that you can do if you get a snake bite. Do you know what helps a snake bite? Electricity. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever gotten one of those little handheld things? It's not a taser. What's it called? A little thing that you put on somebody, you go, bzzz, you shock them. What's that called? A stun gun. Okay? If you get a snake bite and you have a stun gun, you put it right there on it and zap it. And all that jumbled protein that your body can't digest all of a sudden just becomes pure protein that your body can digest and is no longer poison. There's something about that electricity that changes it. Isn't that odd? And I've heard people that did that. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I am not offering any medical advice of any sort today. Amen. but it is interesting how it has to do with protein. What an odd thing. Now, through this whole COVID thing, they wanted people to get a vaccine, and they wanted them to get a vaccine ID. So an ID. There's a thing called a quantum digital tattoo. Have you ever heard of that? They have a thing called a quantum digital tattoo. And they were telling people that they'd like to use this and see who had the shot and who didn't. Now, a quantum digital tattoo is something that you can put on, guess where? Right here. Now, I said on, but guess what? It goes in. And they use these nowadays. They're about that big. And it looks like this from the side. And there's these little fang-looking things that come out like this. And they have the vaccine in these little things. And they're so small you can't see them. And when you go like this, you're injected. And it leaves a quantum digital tattoo on your skin, made out of a certain kind of ink. Now, you can look all this up online. I'm not making this up. I'm not talking out my rear end and making stuff up, okay? This is all documented online, that the quantum digital tattoo is made out of the ink of a firefly. Now, what is Satan called? Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. You ever seen a firefly and how it lights up? Well, scientists call that ink Luciferan ink. And so they have synthesized that ink, and they call it, the synthesized version, they call it Luciferase ink. So Luciferase ink is what they put in these digital tattoos. And when you take one, you can't see that ink with a digital eye. You have to have some sort of a big blue light. Or they have a little device that they call a light bearer. That's what Satan or Lucifer means, light bearer. And you use that device and you can see, and it's one of those QR codes made out of Luciferase ink. Luciferase, you know what that sounds like to me? Luciferase. Luciferase is what it sounds like. If you take that, you become, I don't know, it's weird. So Satan wants to put something inside of you. That's what the devil's goal is. He tried to get something inside of Eve, didn't he? He said, Eve, see that? Just eat it. Just put it in your mouth. Just get it to run through your circulatory system. Just go ahead and just bite it. Just eat it. Open wide. Take this. And if that's what the devil did back then, do you think the devil's still trying to get inside of us to destroy us? Back then, it was with the sin vaccine, I guess you could say. He wanted to get sin into us. What is the devil trying to put inside of us today? That's a good question. So Satan wants to get something inside you. He wants to put poison in you. And a snake bite. When you get a snake bite, you get enzymes, proteins, amines, lipids, nucleosides, metals, and other things from a snake bite. Have you ever studied what's inside of a vaccine? Almost exactly the same ingredients. There's even sometimes they find that there's heavy metals in vaccines that shouldn't. So I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm scratching my head and I'm going, huh, if I were the devil, what would I do? Well, I'd get into the education system to dumb people down. I'd get into the banking system to take over. But I definitely would get into that system, the health system, so I could hijack people's bodies and put a virus in them. Huh, I wonder if the Satan ever did that. Huh? So what was this vaccine that they pushed on the world for COVID? It's an experimental gene therapy mRNA vaccine. Did you know that? Now, I know some of you probably took it. I'm not putting you down, okay? I've got good news and bad news for you. It's not the mark of the beast. That's good news. But what is it? It's experimental gene therapy. And it's mRNA gene therapy. mRNA has to do with the messenger of the DNA. So it can go in there and do some bad stuff to your body. Now, can it change your DNA? I'm not going to say it can or it can't. I'll let you figure that out for yourself. But what if it does affect the DNA? Has there ever been in history a time when Satan messed with men's DNA? Oh yeah, Genesis chapter 6. Do you remember Genesis chapter 6 where the sons of God mated with the daughters of men and produced giants? Well, that was the devil's race, if you will. That was his DNA. There were six fingers, six toes. Some say a double row of teeth. Do you think the devil, after about 5,000-6,000 years, just gave up and said, man, I can't beat God? Or do you think he's still doing the same exact thing? I think he's probably doing the same thing. Isn't it weird that the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man? In Noah's day, they messed with the DNA of man. And only Noah and his family were saved because they didn't take it. They didn't let themselves be changed. And now we see in the world them using technology to try to change people's DNA. I don't know, it might scare you, but it encourages me because it tells me the Lord's coming soon. Yeah. Amen? So we're really close to that time. And it's sad to see how people have taken this thing. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. I have people that are Christians that say, well, Brother Breaker, I took the shot. What do I do? Well, you're going to hell. You took the mark of the beast. No. Remember, you didn't take it in your right hand or your forehead. Did they put a shot in your head, did they? Now, it can affect you. It can do some damage to you. But some people got just water. I mean, and some people got other things. Some people got sick. Some people have had blood clots and things like that. We personally know people that have took that, had died from it. So God only knows what's in that. But some people might have just gotten, what is that stuff that they give in an IV? What is that? Saline. They did give some that were just saline solutions. And some people say that they've come out and said that they targeted Republicans. Huh. No, the Democrats are nice people. They wouldn't do something like that, would they? Well, I don't know. But what does Matthew chapter 10 say? If you're a Christian and you ignorantly took something like that, did you lose your salvation? Maybe you did something to your body that you shouldn't have done, but are you still saved? I get emails all the time from people because there's people out there saying that that was the mark of the beast. And they contact me. I don't know if I'm saved, Brother Breaker. I think I took the mark of the beast. Well, what does Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 say? And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Brother, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let the devil do whatever he wants to your body. He can't take your soul if you're saved. So to me, getting saved is the most important thing. Now, can that thing affect your health? Is there some sort of AIDS in it? Is there some sort of immune deficiency that you will have because of something like that? Because your mRNA is affected? That's a possibility. I'm not going into that. I just want to talk about salvation. To me, that's the most important thing. And I want to warn you about things like that. But did the shot contain something? And did it have something to do with this 060606? I think it was a dry run. I think it was, let's see if the world's gullible enough to do what we tell them to do. How many of you wore a mask? You know, I never put a mask on. Because I said to myself, no, I'm free. I'm not going to do that. And I thought to myself, when was the last time they told somebody to put on an article of clothing? Oh yeah, that was the Jews and 6 million of them died. No, I'm not going to let people tell me what I can and can't wear. Well, what did I have to do? I had to suffer for Jesus because I didn't get to go shopping as much as I used to. Boo-hoo! Right? I hate shopping anyway, so who cares? But I had best time of my life those 2 years when people were supposed to wear masks. Because I'd go in, they said, sure, you can't come in here. I go, is this a public place? Yes. Then yes, I can. Well, you can't wear a mask. Yes, I can. I could come in here without one. No, you can't. He said, and I loved arguing with him. I said, okay, well, do you want me to leave? Would you like me to call the police, or would you like to call the police? And they're like, I said, have you ever, and I printed it up. Have you ever heard of the 1964, I think it was, Civil Rights Act? Can I read it to you? This is national law. And I love just telling people, you know. And it says you cannot discriminate against people based upon their religion, color, or health. And I said, I have a health problem. I can't wear a mask. What's your problem? My problem is I don't want to because it hurts my health to do it. And now they're finding out that when you did that, you breathe out and then you breathe back in your own toxic body waste and all these things. A mask and a virus, the virus is about as small as a dot on the page of your Bible in comparison to the opening of the fiber of the mask. And so it would be about the size of a fence gate, of a chain link fence. A virus would be about the size of a dot on your Bible. You tell me that can't go through? I looked at the mask thing, I said, I ain't doing it. So I had a good time, and I learned a new word that I started using a lot. You know what my word was? Ichabod. I'd go into a store and, you can't come in here, sir, without a mask. I said, oh, so you're asking me to leave? I'll leave, but not without preaching first. And then I go, the last time they told somebody to wear something was the Jews. They had to wear a yellow star. That guy's a Nazi, and he's trying to tell me to wear something. What, are you going to kill me in a Holocaust next, mister? Ichabod! And I walk out. And I just love saying Ichabod to every store I went to. And a couple times I said, God's going to close you down. And a couple of months later, the store was closed. I was like, wow, was that my fault or what? But I loved doing that because the people there would turn around and look. And at the time, I looked like the crazy prophet, you know, with the sign, the end is near, that everybody think is crazy. Now looking back, they're like, dude, that guy was right. Isn't it nice to be right? Be the guy that was right? So I didn't wear the mask. And I didn't stay at home in the lockdown. Do you know the Constitution? You have a right to freely travel. Some of the best days of my life was when they said, you can't leave your home. Every day we went driving because there was no traffic. I said, honey, it is possible to get from here to here in 15 minutes. Before it took 30 minutes because of the stoplights. I was just, man, it was the time of my life. I went, this is awesome. I can go anywhere and I don't have to see people. I love it. But people stayed home. A lot of people lost their business. A lot of people did this. Who prospered from this? Not you. Not me. Fauci. Right? The same vaccines that he pushed, he was invested in. Made something like $10, $12 million from them. And these were untested vaccines and things like that. And so you look at this, it looks like to me that the devil is behind this. And this was all the dry run to see, well, if they'll take this, they'll take anything. And I was telling people, if you'll take a mask and wear a mask, there's just one letter difference between mask and mark. Why didn't more people stand up for their rights? We tried to stay at a Hyatt one time at a hotel. And they gave my wife the key and she came out. And we go back in and they told us we had to leave. And a man started screaming at me that said he was a Marine. You can't come out here without a mask. You can't come in here without a mask. I said, you're not a Marine because you didn't fight for my freedom. I said, that's not what a Marine would say, you commie. And they told me we couldn't stay at the hotel because we wouldn't marinate. They just gave us the key. So I said, well, here's the civil rights bill. And here's it. And I just went through it. And they said, we're going to call the cops. I said, I wish you would. I'll be waiting outside. And I called and they called the cops and the cops told me to leave. And I said, sir, I would like you to put them in jail because they're discriminating against my rights. And he said, no, you can't do that. I said, why are you doing this? Well, the county made it a mandate. And so we have to do what the county says. And I said, well, you know you're wrong, right? And I tried to explain it to them, but they don't care. They don't want to do their job, do they? But do you know what a mandate is? I spent $120 on the law book. I think it's Black's Law Book. Is that the name of it? It came in the mail. It's that thick. I opened Black's Law Book, and it says mandate. It says a mandate is only in effect when both parties agree. And I said, I do not agree. So I will not comply with anything they say. I saw the whole thing as a scam from the get-go. But I say all that to say this. How many people went along to get along and just did what they were told without questioning? I think it's shameful, don't you? Do you feel shame for some of the things you did and went along with back then? Do you see how evil Fauci was? Fauci and Bill Gates, did you know they were roommates in college? Oh, there's nothing to see here. And do you feel ashamed? Aren't we supposed to stand up for our rights and stand up for ourselves? Aren't we Christians supposed to be warning the world, no, watch out, there's a mark coming, don't take it. And yet we just backed away and just watched it all happen. Now this is coming. And the world's going to be already prepared to take the mark of the beast. I think more than any time ever, we should stand up and be preaching against it. And be telling people, watch out for this. Well, quickly, here were the conspiracy theories, if you will. Some people say that the vaccine had nanochips in it that will track you. I don't know. That's possible. Some say it had nanobodies in it that weaken you and kill you when they want. And that these chips or whatever they put in you, they can use wireless, and when they want, they can make them clump up and start a heart attack. Now, we've seen people die that were very healthy, that were very adamant against some of the things they were seeing. And we wonder if this wasn't part of their plan. We wonder about things like this. They say it can change a person's DNA and make it easier for demons to possess them if they're not saved. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I'm wondering, what did they put in that? What did they put in the punch, if you will? What were they giving people? Some say it will prepare one's body for the mark of the beast somehow. And this was the precursor to bring that in later. I'm just glad, looking back, we stayed away from the whole thing. Either way, the world has been tested and told you can't leave your house and you can't buy or sell without taking something that we tell you to take. Doesn't that sound exactly like Revelation chapter 13? I believe that was Satan's dry run. And he looked at it and he says, "Woohoo, man, then I can bring in the real thing anytime I want," because what, 70% of people complied? It's amazing, isn't it? Now they want what's called the Great Reset. Are you watching the news every day? What is the Great Reset? They want what's called CBDC, or cryptocurrencies. And they want to bring all this in, and they want to get rid of money. And they want you to only have cryptocurrency, which is just ones and zeros in a computer. Which to me is so dumb. So dumb. Because all it would take is an EMP pulse, and everybody is really angry because nobody has any money. You know what I mean? Oh, that's sad. And so they're doing all this stuff. They want to have a social credit score. Remember social distancing? Stay 6 feet apart. Stay 6 feet. Why 6 feet apart? Well, they say that once they implement this thing here, that the computer can tell who you are and where you are. But if you're standing really close to another person, the computer can't really tell. But if you're 6 feet apart, then the computer can track you at all times. Wow. They were getting you ready for that. 6 feet apart so the AI can track you. Are they branding people as cattle? Trying to make them into slaves? All this came out years before. It was called Operation Lockstep. Have you ever heard of Operation Lockstep? And I tried to warn people about all this. And Operation Lockstep said, we're going to put out some sort of a pandemic. And we're going to bring in control. Well, now they want to give away to the WHO our sovereignty. And this man in charge, Mr. Magoo, I think his name is, the man who claims to be president right now. And that, he reminds me of Mr. Magoo, you know. Oh, walks around like this. Doesn't know where he is half the time. You can't tell me he got more votes than Obama. I have a hard time. But look what it says in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4. That man has given away our sovereignty to the WHO of our nation. And now the WHO can tell us what to do when the next pandemic comes. Who is the WHO? World Health Organization. And look what it says in Revelation 13, 4. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's odd, isn't it? Huh. So now the WHO wants to be in charge when the next pandemic comes out. Now guess what? The Operation Lockstep said, we're going to do one pandemic, then we're going to do a worse one later. If this whole thing was planned, and I believe it was, you ain't seen nothing yet. You thought COVID was bad? That was a cold. That's basically the common cold. That's nothing. Wait until people start bleeding out their eye sockets. And who are they going to listen to? Us? When we try to warn them? But can't you see the blood coming out of his eyes? I think they're behind this, and they've prepped the world for the mark of the beast that's coming soon. And I think that we that are Christians need to realize, no, we want nothing to do with this. We want nothing to do with this. So I hope the rapture comes first. But one thing that is interesting to me is they called it a plague. As you read through the book of Revelation, it talks about the seven plagues of God. Was COVID God's judgment, or was that man doing it? Do you see what man did? Imagine when God gets angry and he says, well, I'll give you a plague if you want a plague bad enough. And God puts out seven worst plagues on the earth in the tribulation period. So I don't have any faith in men. I don't have any faith in the system. And I look at the New World Order and what they're doing, and they're trying to bring in the global currency and everything they're doing. But I also have very little faith in the world and in many Christians nowadays too. Where were they when we were taking our stand? We still meet people all the time. They're saved. They come visit us, but they took the shot. And it's just like, didn't you know that's not good? Didn't you know you shouldn't have done that? So can you be saved and have that? Yeah. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you got the jab. But I am asking, what did you get? Do you know? Have you had any side effects from it? Have you had any problems? We know a lot of people that had a lot of problems. And they believed a little imp and took the Fauci ouchie because he said to. And he said it was 100% effective. And then 2 weeks later, it's 99% effective. And then 2 weeks later, it's 89% effective. And then 2 weeks later, it's 70%. He lied to your face. Do you believe it? There's still people that believe that it helps. When I see people out in town and they're still wearing a mask, I just want to go up to them and go, psh, 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 psh. But they're so far gone that they believe a lie. Do you remember the verse we read where they will believe a lie? Now, I don't believe that was the lie, but I believe that's the start of it. And just to, and I'm not up here more holier than you. Look at me. I'm better than you. No, I'm trying to warn you. We are all Christians and we belong to God. And when someone tells us we have to do this, we need to read the Bible first. And we need to know what's best for us and not just go along to get along with the world. I have more. I don't know what to do. Revelation 16, 1 and 2 talks about the sore on those who take the mark of the beast. And it talks about in the Bible how it's a noisome and grievous sore. Now, noisome, people think that means loud. Noisome means stinky. And when people take the mark of the beast after the rapture, it'll be nothing for them because they've already taken the other thing probably. They'll take this and then they'll all start stinking really bad. They all smell so horrible they won't even want to be around each other. They'll probably have 16-foot social distancing because they smell so bad instead of 6-foot. And do you think they'll ever wake up to the fact that they've been lied to? Have you ever thought about what it is to be deceived? Do you know when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived? The very definition of being deceived is you don't know you're deceived. If you knew you weren't deceived, then you weren't deceived. So a person's deceived thinks they're right, and they're not. Isn't that scary? I pray every day, please don't let me be deceived, Lord, because you think you're right, and you'd fight to the death thinking you're right when you're the one who's wrong. And there's a lot of people in the world that are deceived. And the mark of the beast is coming. I think what we've seen so far, I don't need to go any farther, is the dry run for the mark of the beast. And I don't trust these people in charge. They don't have our best interests at heart, do they? Who I trust is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to trust other Christians. But when this whole thing started, I started telling people, no, a mandate is not something you have to follow. You can willfully agree or disagree, but a mandate is not law. You know what they started calling me? Robert Lawbreaker. So I had to buy the law book to show them what a mandate was. $120. But think about it. Use your brain. Use your head. Don't just do what everybody else is doing. Do you know what my dad and mom used to say? Well, if everybody else is walking off a cliff, would you walk off a cliff? No, mommy. No. The whole world has walked off a cliff, haven't they? Allowed themselves to be deceived. And it's starting to come out and we're starting to see it. But let's don't do that again. Amen. And let's go warn people and win people to the Lord and wake people up. It's been amazing to me how many people have been waking up lately and how many people are getting saved. And I think that's great. And I think the only way to fight the new world order is to win people to Jesus, because that's one less person the Antichrist can rule over in the tribulation period. But I don't know what else to do but warn you about that. The mark of the beast is coming, and it looks like there's something to it technological. And it has to do with something they put inside you. And a lot of people already have that something in them. And they're that close to taking the other thing that works with it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. You know who you are if you took this thing. Have you thought about doing what you can to detox, to try to get some of this stuff out of you? Amen. Have you ever thought about that? I don't know any preacher that preaches like this and talks about this. There's a thing called Sons Detoxificant. Number 9 or number 7? S-O-N-N-E apostrophe S. Sons Detoxificant. You can buy it online. And it's some sort of bentonite clay. And when you drink this clay in a glass of water, it absorbs 50% of its own mass. And as that goes through your body, that can clean you out and get some of this stuff out of you. Because they're saying that the people that took this, it's going to take less of their, it's going to take part of their life, and they're going to have less of a lifespan because this thing has weakened their immune system. And so if I care about you, and I do, I care about your soul, but also care about your body. I don't want to see you die before your time. So think about these things. Maybe get some of that detoxificant. You put about that much in a glass of water, drink it every day. Try to get some of this junk out of you if you've taken that. There's other things that you can take, and minerals and zinc, a lot of zinc. There's all sorts of... Look into some of the things that you can take for your health. I don't know if it's true or not, but they say that the people that took the shot, now they can give it to other people even more. And so that kind of scares me. That's kind of one of the reasons we don't travel a lot, because we don't want to be around people that have something to make us sick. But I feel like we already got it, so who cares? We've got an immune system. We take our zinc and other stuff. What other things, Laura, is good for that? Do you remember? Okay, yeah, ask Brother Hoffman. Brother Hoffman, you know the answers to this, don't you? And the things to help people to take for this sickness and things. Selenium. Right. Right. Zinc needs to be taken with D3, right, in order for it to be absorbed and things like this. These are all things you need to think about, because your health is important, because we want you here to warn people about this right here coming. But we need to understand we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And we don't just go along to get along. I'd rather suffer than just do what everyone else is doing. And last thing is this. Are you saved? What good is this advice to you, trying to help your body and to get your health better, if you still die and go to hell? Is your soul saved? Do you know that you're going to heaven when you die? If not, this week is the time to get that settled. You can talk to me, you can talk to Brother Hoffman, you can talk to Brother Fabriel or our Brother Brandon. We'll take you to the gospel. We'll show you to know 100% that you're saved. You don't have to sleep at night and wonder and worry, oh, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I believe in a no-so salvation. When you're saved, you know you're saved. Not a, well, I hope so, fingers crossed, I might go to heaven. So that's what I want here this week more than anything else, is for you to be saved and know you're on your way to heaven. So please get that settled this week. Now come back to the rest of the nights. I'm going to have some more interesting things. I was like, Lord, do I have to talk about this? Because, oh, you know, they're going to hate me. The more I preached to this a year or two ago, the more they hated me. Now, more and more people are waking up. You know, the Bible says, awake, he that sleepeth. What does the world say? Get woke. The world wants you to get woke to a lie, but God wants you to awake to the truth. They have their own vocabulary. Let's use the King James as our vocabulary. Amen. Let's say awake to the truth. So I hope that's a blessing to you. And if you have any more questions, feel free to ask us. Okay. And I love you, and I don't even know you. But I want to see you saved, and I want to see you as healthy as possible. And I don't want to see you deceived. Okay? All right. Now, I'm not putting you down or browbeating you, am I? Sure as the world, somebody's probably like, please don't be like that. We care about you. That's why we're trying to tell you the truth. All right, brother, come on. Amen.
We don't know anything about health here. Not a thing. So there's a bathtub soak also. So, You could put your head in a bucket three times, pull it out twice. That'd kind of take care of it, too, if you think about that. That'd give you a trip, quick trip to heaven. Boy, that was a good message right off Joyce Meyer website. Thanks for that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Okay, let's pray. And then tomorrow night, 6:30. And let's go to pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your blessings. And Lord, I just thank you for your word. And you know, the frustrating thing about deception is you discover it after the fact. But we all been deceived about something. We're deceived about something right now. Maybe some area of life that you may show us. It may be major, it might be minor, whatever it is. I just pray you'd help us all to be students until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.